You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Well, hello, this is Bob Hunt from Zion's Hope Ministries, located in Winter Garden, Florida. Today, I would like to talk to you about a much-debated passage or section of Scripture. It's from Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. I've titled these messages, as it will be three, Marked for Death, and you'll be able to see why shortly. Because of the depth of this teaching, I've broken it into three segments, so this will be part one of three. And as I said, it's very much debated. Chapter 13 of Revelation describes two very powerful, yet very evil men. They will rise up at about the same time onto the world scene. This will occur during Daniel's 70th week, or the last 7 years prior to the coming of Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord. Their objective is focused and clear. It's to sway the world into worshiping the beast of the sea, or better known as the Antichrist. They will use deception, lies, miraculous and amazing events, coercion, and commands to achieve their ends. They'll actually represent Satan on earth, speaking his desires and acting ultimately on his behalf. These next three sessions, we will explore Revelation 13, 16, 18, and the mark of the beast. Most people who have studied eschatology for any length of time are familiar with the mark of the beast. It is the beast of the earth or false prophet who will institute this taking of the mark. The end game is for the world to worship the beast of the sea. The mark is actually the third device used to achieve worldwide worship. The first device we've spoken of in earlier sessions is from Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 through 4, where the beast of the sea, or Antichrist, has a mortal wound that suddenly is healed. This event is incredible and amazing, and therefore leads many to worship the beast. They are said to marvel, follow, and then worship. The beast of the earth, the false prophet, will also perform signs and miracles to gather a cult-like following. So all these miraculous signs will be used by this team to lead many to worship the beast of the sea. And these deceptions lead many into what I call voluntary worship based on these miracles. As it's written in those passages, all the world marveled and followed the beast, so they worshiped. The beast now begins his war on Christians and Jews, bringing death and imprisonment just for being a follower of the one true God. The second device that these two will use, or the beast of the earth primarily, he will command those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast of the sea, Revelation 13, 14. The false prophet gives breath to this image and now directly orders the world to worship this image or be killed. Now the false prophet rises to the level of using coercion, commands, to garner this worship for the beast. The penalty for those who will not bow is simple. You die, Revelation 13, 15. Worship is no longer voluntary, but mandatory. Bow or die, that's the law. If you think about it, the world will be unsafe for Christians and for Jews. The slaughter has now reached unprecedented heights. It is going to get worse. The false prophet's final act to achieve worldwide worship of the beast of the sea. He commands everyone to be marked or have the name or have the number of the beast. The penalty is the inability to buy or sell. The economic impact on lives will be devastating. For those who refuse or avoid receiving this mark, death, imprisonment, now starvation. Only the faithful believer will continue to follow and worship Christ alone. Well, that's the introduction. Now let's take a look at our verses. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. We'll just begin with verse 16 as we start. Verse 16 says, "He causes all," and the he, of course, is the false prophet or the beast of the earth. "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads." Now, verse 16 says he causes all. And this carries the meaning of he makes. He makes someone to do something. And in this case, it's take the mark. So there's no volunteering here. This is something he's going to mandate the world to do. Deception has been the key tool up to this point, and it still will be. He'll still use it to get people to take the mark. But if they don't fall for this deception, he will use it and use force. This time, economic sanctions will be levied upon all who don't comply to these orders. His goal is, and always will be, to demand worship of the beast, Satan's beast. Look what it says in there in 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive this mark. All. This is a universal command, not just local, not even national, but worldwide. So this is universal. He doesn't want some worship. He wants worldwide worship. It doesn't matter who you are, rich, poor, small, great. This mandate applies to all. We're not told how or the details of getting and accomplishing this task, but we can see that it is a forced upon Christians and rebels to make a difficult choice. It's a forced action, a required event, a required mark. It's interesting the placement of this mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Both of these areas of the body are very visible and easy to see. Therefore, if someone tried to buy or sell, the other party could easily see this mark. If missing, they would be required by law to refuse service or face punishment themselves. Well, what is this mark? If you look at the Greek word karagma, Strong's Concordance says it's a scratch or etching, a stamp, as in a badge of servitude. Notice the word servitude they use. NAS Dictionary, to engrave, a stamp, or impress upon something. At first glance, it looks a lot like a tattoo of sorts, doesn't it? Could it be that simple? It could. Many believe it will be tied to technology, perhaps some sort of chip. Many have thought that for years. Also, that's very possible. But we don't know for sure. What we do know is we need as Christians to be alert and watch and don't be manipulated by the culture or the world, no matter how miraculous things may seem. The world is looking for and expecting some sort of universal identification tied to economic activities. Ever since COVID, there's been a mad dash to create something universal, to record personal information. Some retailers have discussed ID cards or computer chips. These then could be linked to credit scores, medical records, ESG scores, that's environmental, social, and governmental scores, where business and individuals would be evaluated on the score they have in these areas. The lower the score, the more difficult it would be to do business. China already is using some form of scoring in many of their economic areas. The European Union has recently been discussing how to standardize an ESG system for all large corporations and banks. It's not hard to see how this platform could be used to support the Mark of the Beast program. It's coming. Where would Christians fall in line with all of this? They would probably fail. The social score would be low. Could it be enough to prevent them from dealing economically? You can imagine one of the standardized metrics. Do you worship the beast? Or are you a Christian? Well, the marking will have a reason, a visible sign of, to whom do you identify with? To whom do you belong or pledge allegiance? To whom do you give worship? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, there's an interesting verse here that kind of ties to this passage. Let me read verse 8 to you. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Here, the command is given for the word of God to be that close to people. To be bound on the hands, to be bound as frontlets between your eyes. Many of the Israelites took that literally and would actually attach the word of God to those parts of their body. But what I want to find interesting here is that Satan is mimicking that with his own mark. The same two areas that God commanded the Israelites to bind the Word of God to, he also has chosen to put his mark. Speaking of marks, in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, God commands the marking of foreheads to protect those whom are his. Now we're starting to get to the point of this marking. Who are his? It's an identification point. Revelation chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, God seals or marks the 144,000 that are his and protects them. Again, they are his. Ephesians 1, verse 13, believers are sealed. In other words, they are marked, protecting us from his wrath to come. We are his. He is marking his children to protect them from his own wrath. Similarly, Satan, the great imposter and deceiver, is marking his children to protect them from his satanic wrath to be poured out on those who defy him. Death, imprisonment, or starvation. Satan is always deceiving and being the imposter as he seeks this worship. The false prophet gives the mark under the Antichrist authority, using all the resources of the world to track, find, and mark the world. You might say what a daunting task that is, but as our world becomes more and more global, the easier it becomes. More and more technology, the easier it will be. The world will gladly assist also in hunting those Christians and Jews who dare to defy the New World Order. Kind of brings to light Mark chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, where it briefly says, brother will betray brother. And so we will see that at its highlight during this time of Satan's wrath. You know, it always amazes me at how easily we give up our rights and our privacy for things that we want. Usually the response is, I have nothing to hide, or they will get it anyway, things like that. Just recently, a widely used video conferencing platform announced that they would use our personal information pulled from our conferences to make inferences. I was taken aback. What inferences would be made? It kind of scared me a little bit of this information gathering technology device. I was thinking perhaps something like, where will you lean when the time comes to worship? Who or where is your allegiance? You have to think about technology. It is so useful. But remember, in the end, it is not our friend. It will likely be used against us. That information that we give to them daily on the computer is not benign. What inferences will they make? They will make an inference that you will not worship the beast. The lines are clearly being drawn. There will be little gray area to stand in, no waffling or sitting on the fence. If we take the mark, we avoid the wrath of Satan, but we will face the eternal wrath of God. If we refuse the mark, then we will face the wrath of Satan, but enjoy eternal peace with God. Luke 9:24 now becomes a reality. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Simple. God's wrath or Satan's wrath? Choose wisely. Choose with eternity in mind. Let's review the believer's journey very briefly during this critical time of history. Maybe you weren't fooled by the miracles that were performed. You sat back and watched the world madly rush after the beast. Maybe somehow we managed to stay hidden and even avoided the pressure to bow before this image. We're still alive. Things are good, you say. But now the consequences of not being marked, they'll be even harder to avoid, maybe even more significant. Let's take a little closer look at the consequences of not taking the mark. They're down in verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell, except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Buying and selling. Think about it. You have to have the mark. What does it mean to has the mark? It means you are in possession of or hold onto this mark, whatever it is. Whether the false prophet makes that person take the mark through coercion, or that person voluntarily receives the mark, the end result is the same. They now possess the mark. And not having this mark will greatly affect our lives, our families. Some tough decisions will be made by many people. No wonder many will fall away. No buying or selling. This will have at least two implications. First, this is the normal way of earning a living. Today we sell our services and we buy what we want and need. This will mean we will not be able to have a job, at least above board or openly. Secondly, we will not be able to buy the necessities of life, especially food, clothing, and shelter. The economic consequences will be severe. To be imprisoned or killed outright is one thing. Life is over. But to be starved to death is torturous, especially for those who have families. The pressure to bow will be enormous, both internally and externally. Every Christian or Jew will have to decide how to face this dilemma. The world's resources at this time will already be severely limited. The first four seals brought wars, famine, pestilence, at a scale the world had never seen before. Currency is likely gone, or at least tightly controlled. And computer technology will make everything controllable. For those who will not comply, or still not comply, a new way of life will rise up, as bartering and charity will be the way of life. They can't buy, they can't sell, so they will work undercover. Those who have will share with those who have not, just as early Christians shared with those in Jerusalem during the great famine of Acts 11:28. But never before in history will it be so difficult to follow Christ. In Luke 14, take a quick look at verse 27. 14:27, and it says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." The cross may seem heavy at this period of time. as we forsake all, and we will forsake all. But he will help us bear it through the power of the Holy Spirit. When will this mark be mandatory? Likely it will be during the time of Daniel's 70th week. The most logical place for the marking is to begin is at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 9:27 states, but in the middle of the week, that's 3.5 years, in the middle of the week, things change as sacrifice is taken away. Here, the Antichrist reaches the pinnacle of his power and lashes out. Chapter 13 shows us the beast rising out of the sea, the beast of the earth rising out of the earth, grabbing authority, demanding worship, commanding it with an or else, prison, death, or starvation. And his authority is told to us to be 42 months or 3.5 years. Therefore, the middle of the week is the most likely time when the marking will take place. This will conclude part one of these very intriguing verses. We have looked at the purpose, which is to get worship for the beast of the sea or Antichrist. We have looked at the reason, in order to identify those who do give worship and also to identify those who will not. We've looked at the consequences, economic hardship likely leading to starvation. And we've looked now at the timing, at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, when the wrath of Satan has reached its peak and he will go on a rampage against Christians and Jews. Well, I'll pick up and continue next time. We'll explore more in chapter 13 in future sessions. And we'll look at further implications of taking or not taking the mark. In the meantime, please visit www.zionshope.org for more teachings on eschatology and other biblical doctrines. Thank you and shalom.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.